Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing our graduates to hit the ground running.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. A new poll out today from Harvard's Institute of Politics finds 18 to 24-year-old likely voters favor Barack Obama over John McCain 56 to 30. Young voters turned out in record numbers for the primaries. Both candidates are working hard to win them over. We're heading onto college campuses around the country for some perspective with student newspaper editors as our guides. This hour, On Point, the campaign on campus. We've got a great panel of college newspaper editors with us today. From Waterville, Maine is Susan Merkelson, editor-in-chief of the Colby Echo, the student newspaper at Colby College. Welcome, Suzanne.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you with us. From Dallas, Texas and Southern Methodist University, Jordan Hofeditz, editor-in-chief of the SMU Daily Campus. Hello, Jordan.
Hi, Tom.
Great to have you. From Chapel Hill, North Carolina, Allison Nichols, editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heel at the University of North Carolina. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you, Tom.
And from University Park, Pennsylvania, Terry Casey, editor-in-chief of the Daily Collegian at Penn State University. Hello, Terry. Great to have you here.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Thanks to all of you for taking time out from running those newspapers and all your classes and everything else. We're really interested in what you are seeing and have to say about this campaign. Suzanne Merkelson at Colby College, let me come first to you. Just give us a sense of the mood on campus. How much attention, how much buzz around the November 4th vote?
I think everyone here is really excited about the election. There are lectures like almost every single day about different aspects of the election. There's a series called Know Before You Vote on campus. And there's also a big drive from the students themselves in terms of voter registration. There's a group called the Campus Coalition for Change that has a push to register 500 voters on campus, which is a significant number out of 1,800 students at Colby.
Terry Casey at Penn State, what's it been like? Registration drive going on your campus? How evident, how much in the air has this campaign season been?
The registration drive has been absolutely enormous at Penn State. We have just gotten some recent numbers last week, and for the first time ever, Center County, which University Park is based in, has broken 100,000 registered voters, and that's compared to 85,000 in the last presidential election. You can tell, obviously, that it's a strong Democratic push because, because a lot of the originally, the county had been a Republican county, and for the first time in years, I can't give you the exact date, it has become a blue county in Pennsylvania.
That's a huge change. And on the campus itself, do you see the registration effort there? Is that a source of a lot of the new registered voters?
It's a lot of the student voters that have been registering. Students for Barack Obama, Penn State, are college Democrats. You couldn't go 50 feet leading up to the end of registration without having someone come up to you and ask if you were registered. And even if you were registered, they wanted to make sure that you were registered at Penn State.
Jordan Hofeditz in Dallas, we're looking at these national polls. Overall, Obama leading McCain by pretty significant margin among young voters. The latest one I cited out here today, 56% to 30% for Obama. But you've got a campus, I think, which leans more McCain. What's the mood on the campus? Is it clear that McCain's the favorite at SMU?
It's not always clear when you talk to people, but one thing that we've done on our campus is had debate watching parties and then had students for each side then do a student debate. And after each of those, they did a mock election. And with all three that were done, McCain won each time.
McCain by big margins at SMU or a squeakers? Or how does it feel? Is he the overwhelming favorite there? Jordan? I'm not sure Jordan can hear me. Let's go to Allison Nichols at the Daily Tar Heel in Chapel Hill. Allison, just give us a sense of how students are looking at this election. Amazing youth participation in the primaries. Is there a sense that this one really matters for your generation, for you, for people in their early 20s?
I think there's absolutely that sense at UNC. Everyone's extraordinarily excited, I think, is really the way that I would characterize the mood on campus right now. And we've also had a huge voter registration drive over the course of this semester. I just talked to a representative from Students for Barack Obama who said that they've registered 6,000 new voters in Orange County this semester.
And what kind of issues or charisma or character or sense of the moment in history appear to be driving that interest? Is it the economy? Is it something bigger than that? Was it there even before things really went bust at the end of the summer?
Yeah, I think it's been building since last spring, early last spring. I think that for us, one of the biggest things is that North Carolina is now being labeled a swing state, whereas before it pretty traditionally went Republican in national races. And so there is just, I think, especially for the young Democrats, a sense that we can matter this time, that our votes do matter, that especially the youth vote, that it can make a difference, and trying to sell that point to students and non-students as they try to register people to vote.
Suzanne, how about that? When people talk about the stakes in the election this year, the presidential election this year at Colby College, what kind of terms do you hear them discussing this in? You know, epical terms or marginal terms? What do the stakes appear to be in the minds of your fellow students?
I think people are really excited about the upcoming election, and they kind of feel like they felt maybe disconnected from national politics in the past. There's, you know, our generation has grown up as with Bush as our president, and especially in, you know, in the Northeast, at least from my perspective, most of my friends don't really feel as though he represents them, or as if the current government really represents what we believe and our version of America. And there's this really huge feeling that Obama does.
Terry Casey, how about at Penn State? Is there some overarching issue that's driving this? War, economy, is it character? Is it just the fact that Barack Obama's younger than John McCain?
Well, it definitely started out with a matter of character. It's a matter of personality. Originally, it was just very cool to be voting for Barack Obama. And when, in fact, in late March, Obama came to speak at Penn State, and 22,000 students, well, 22,000 people showed up, a large number, percentage of that being students. Since then, though, a lot of students who have been paying attention to the election that might not have been paying attention before are now really concerned about the economy. Seniors that are about to graduate are wondering if they're going to have jobs, especially those who are looking to go into banking. And, of course, every student is concerned about debt and how they're going to be able to pay that off after college.
Tell us about that Obama visit. What was it like? Who came out? Was there a particular sector of the school that was most excited here? Is there a racial piece to the turnout for Obama at Penn State?
Well, I think everybody is excited about the fact that you know, a black man could be president. But I'll tell you, I think that the real drive behind Obama coming here was more about him as a politician and not a matter of race. When he did come, the sort of a really interesting twist that we didn't expect, a couple members of the football team became very proactive in supporting Barack Obama. In fact, the quarterback's coach, Jay Paterno, and the son of the head coach, Joe Paterno, is a big Obama supporter, even though head coach is a staunch Republican. And so to have his own son coming out for Barack Obama, a couple members of the football team presenting Barack Obama with a football jersey, a Penn State football jersey, and then all these students turning out, it was, you know, almost more of a party than anything, this speech.
Penn State, big on football and the football team, at least the coach's son, the quarterback, Joe Paterno's son, strong Obama. Jordan, they're in Dallas, in McCain country. I wonder how it feels when you see the numbers pretty lopsidedly pro-Obama among likely youth voters. Does it make SMU feel out of the mainstream? Are people proud of that? Does it matter? Does it feel, you know, uncool to be pro-McCain this year?
I don't think it's necessarily that. I think a lot of the disconnect comes from the fact that we're in the state of Texas. I think a lot of people realize that Texas has been a strong Republican state, and so even though the youth vote has gone Obama, the McCain supporters still feel at home in a very strong red state.
And the base of that student body that's more likely to be pro-McCain, is there a religious element to that, an economic element? Does it have to do with the sort of economic standing of these students and their families, or just the political culture that they've come up in?
I think it's both a religious and economic situation, because you do have kids that come from very well-off backgrounds, and so when they see the tax increase for the wealthy, even though it's not them, it's their family, and they relate themselves to that. Plus, I mean, Southern Methodist University, there is a strong religious base that feels that they are more aligned with those beliefs in the Republican Party.
And so you've got what appears to be a McCain majority going on there at SMU. I hope you'll all stand by in Maine, North Carolina, Texas, and Pennsylvania. Penn State, SMU, UNC, and Colby College. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with college newspaper editors this hour about the 08 election and the view from their campuses. On March 30th, Barack Obama hit the Penn State campus and led the crowd there in a cheer.
We are! We are! We are! Oh, thank you so much.
We are Penn State, said Obama. We're joined from Waterville, Maine, and Colby College by Suzanne Merkelson. She's editor-in-chief of the Colby Echo. From Chapel Hill, North Carolina, editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heel, Allison Nichols is with us. From SMU in Dallas, Jordan Hofeditz is here. He's editor-in-chief of the Daily Campus. And from Penn State in University Park, Pennsylvania, Terry Casey's here, editor-in-chief of the Daily Collegian at Penn State. We'll go right now to Carl, calling in from Nashville, Tennessee. Carl, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Pretty well. What do you see, Carl?
Well, I tell you what, I see more college students, and I'll give you an example. My daughter is in her third year in college, and mm-hmm. I have another daughter that's 19, mm-hmm. and their friends are very pro-Senator Obama. And I'll tell you why. And this, a lot of people are wondering, why are a lot of these college-age children, I call them children, but they're young adults,
yes,
that's voting for, that will vote, and that's now voting, early voting for Senator Obama over McCain. And I think it's as simple as this right here. I'm 40, my wife's 40. We were born during the time that the Southern Strategy was started by Nixon and Pat Buchanan and those guys, mm-hmm. to wedge things, ethnic and things like that, to wedge people from other voters. I don't think that works anymore with people from 40 to 18 because that's not an issue anymore. You can only wedge people from other people when they don't know them. And by me growing up in a society that's not segregated, that let me make my own judgment, and people of other races and other religions, they make their own decisions, and they don't depend on someone else trying to wedge them apart from other people. So I think that is one of the biggest reasons why young people are gravitating towards Senator Obama, because them and their parents, they can't get to them with the Southern Strategy. I think that is huge.
Yeah, that maybe wedge politics, maybe race politics are over or diminished in this demographic among young people. Let us test it with our panel. Carl, thanks for calling from Nashville. Let's go to Dallas and Jordan. How about on your campus? Do you hear, see race as a factor one way or another in this campaign?
I don't think it's really a big deal as far as the students see it. I just think it's a very political ideology that students just, and there is a strong Obama push, but a lot of students do relate themselves to the Republican Party.
And you see it more as ideological than racial. Do you hear any conversation from any direction about Barack Obama's race in your conversations at SMU, Jordan? Do people say, I don't know about a black president, or I particularly would like to see that happen because of the precedent it sets? Or anything at all on that front?
I think there is some excitement that we do live in an age where there could be a black president. I think that that's another way Obama has kind of gotten the youth excited about it is because this is our generation and that's his change policy. But for the most part, if anything comes up negative against Obama, it's his experience.
Allison Nichols, how about at Chapel Hill in North Carolina? Of course, you've had huge registration there, and as you say, the state in play this year, as it has not been in a long time. A lot of that registration has been African Americans coming out, certainly came out very strong in the primary for Barack Obama. What about on campus? How do you hear the race question? Is it there at all, and if it is, in what direction?
I really haven't heard much about race on campus. If anything, more back in the primary, I heard some black students saying that they wanted to make it clear that they weren't supporting Barack Obama just because he was black, and that was important, that our generation has moved beyond race and is not really factoring that at all in their decision. But since it's been just a two-candidate race, I haven't really heard anything.
Terry Casey, how about you? We had this flap just in the last 24 hours with Pennsylvania Congressman John Murtha saying that Obama will win Pennsylvania, but he'd win it despite racist sentiments in Western Pennsylvania. That's what a congressman from your state there, Terry, saying that.
That's true. There has been a bit of controversy around those comments, and frankly, the first thing I'd like to say is I do think that that is separate from the students, especially at Penn State. You know, there is that sort of notion that racism is still alive, and there's certainly reason to believe that. But in terms of the college students, I think that I agree with what a lot of people are saying here. It's more that people are ready to accept Barack Obama, who happens to be black, than they are accepting him because he is black. Same way with Hillary Clinton. They didn't want any woman in the White House. People were rooting for Hillary Clinton because she was the woman that they wanted.
Suzanne, in Maine, how about on your campus?
Well, Colby's a mostly white campus, overwhelmingly so, actually. And there's still a fear, I think, locally that exists of being offensive to maybe minorities, and that's seen a lot on the opinions page. But I think when you take a look at Obama as a candidate, he's appealing not because he's black, but because he really seems to connect with students and our student body. And I think that he kind of transcends the idea of race, and people don't necessarily think one way or the other about his race.
Let's get a call from Eric in East Hampton, New York. Hi, Eric. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Just wanted to talk a little bit, sort of relate the young people with the race issue a little bit, and everybody's talking about the Bradley effect, and I wanted to throw in something that might be called the Obama effect. I'll call it the Obama effect, where a lot of these people that might be aligned with the Republican Party and expected to vote white, when they close the curtain, they may end up voting for Obama, saying, you know, this is actually the guy that I should vote for. And just wondering if you thought maybe that might have a little effect there, the Obama effect.
A backflip on the Bradley effect, maybe. I don't know. Jordan Hoppeditz, how about it? At SMU, can you imagine some students publicly in the McCain camp there who may go the other way in the privacy of the ballot booth?
I think there's a chance of it. I don't know that it would necessarily have to do with anything racial necessarily, but I do think that there are those people out there that will talk a big game one way, but when they're forced to sit there and say what's best, will possibly go against what they've been saying.
Let's go to Charlottesville, Virginia, and Karen. Karen, you're on the air with our panel of student newspaper editors.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I am a law student at the University of Virginia, and 4 years ago I started a group called the Network of Enlightened Women, or
okay.
NEW. It's a book club for conservative college women, and
okay.
We're now on 15 campuses, and so have my pulse on the campus atmosphere.
Great.
And one thing I'd like to ask is about the peer pressure on college campuses to vote for Obama. One thing I've been disappointed is I've seen very few debates or discussions about the candidates and just much more peer pressure to vote for Obama. And if you don't vote for him, then you're somehow, you know, there's a negative inference there. And I wonder if your panelists could discuss that.
Let us pick it up. And thanks for your call, Karen. Allison, how about it? Peer pressure as opposed to considered support for Senator Obama.
I know that conservatives on our campus sometimes feel that their views are not taken seriously or not taken as legitimate, and that there's less of a informed discourse and discussion just because it is so overwhelmingly liberal here on campus and in Orange County. But I don't know about peer pressure specifically. We have had a few debates on campus that have been well attended, but again, the numbers are so skewed that there's so many more people who are supporting Obama that it's hard to say how much came out of those debates.
Tara Casey, how about at Penn State?
It's definitely a popular thing to be voting for Barack Obama, and I think that's how it started. Although I would look at sort of a positive aspect of that, in that even though a lot of students may have gotten involved because it was, you know, popular or peer pressure, however you'd want to put it,
mm-hmm.
A lot of those students started paying attention when they might not have otherwise. And those are the students who might now be paying attention to, say, a series that we just did on influential political students, and, you know, checking out the letters to the editor that are about politics and guest columns for about the different politicians. I think all that actually did was get students involved in the campaign, which really is never a bad thing.
So, Terry, when you hear students making the case for Obama on your campus, and we'll ask Jordan what he hears at SMU, but how do they make it? I mean, is it what are the key arguments that get made if Obama is so popular? How is it justified?
Well, I think that it's a largely Democratic student body as it is. And then besides that, what I think has actually happened here is, since there are so many young Democrats really that haven't voted before, all this did was sort of reveal them and get them to register, which is the biggest thing. So when it comes to making a case, a lot of it can just come down to Democratic issues or stances on issues, I should say. But then you are getting the same people who are going off of the idealistic aspect of Barack Obama. A lot of people, some people who say that we're ready for a black president, or other people who just say they think that he would be better in foreign relations just because of his charisma and personality.
Allison Nichols at the Daily Tar Heel, what about in your environment? Is there a big, some kind of grand case for Obama that gets made? Is it issue by issue, policy by policy? Is there some special sense that young voters have a greater stake in this election for Obama or McCain?
Well, I think on an individual level, people all have their own reasons for supporting any particular candidate, and one person might be more interested in the economy, and one person might be more interested in, any number of issues. But I think that there is this sort of general ideology that he has been able to cultivate that really appeals to young people, and this is this very idealistic notion of hope and change, and the idea that we're going to move beyond partisan politics and change Washington. And I think that that's a message that a great number of people on campus have definitely bought into and are completely behind and supporting for that reason, for this idea that has become Barack Obama.
And Jordan Hofeditz at SMU in Dallas, you've got perhaps more support from McCain on your campus. What's the case that you hear made for John McCain? He also embraces a change message. Does that resonate, or is it something else?
I don't know if it's necessarily his change message. It's that political ideology that people relate themselves to. There are people who feel that, whether it be the war that's going on or any number of other issues, they do feel like the Bush administration has done a good job, and that with McCain, then that can keep going in the right direction.
So that actually sounds like the opposite of change in a way. It sounds like sticking with something familiar that they approve of.
Pretty much. I think a lot of the negative Obama aspect that comes out is the whole change. You can't just say change. You have to say what you're going to change. And a lot of people use that against Obama.
Suzanne, on the Colby campus, what about that? When you hear students working to put meat on the bones of this idea of change, change alone is not enough. Maybe bipartisanship is not enough. It's what do you want to change to? Is there some different vision of a changed America that you could articulate that you feel students supporting if and when they support Obama?
I think that it's really interesting right now that Obama's candidacy is coming at the same time as this, you know, economic crisis we're having. And I think there really is this sense that our generation is kind of starting or is going to be maybe the shepherd of some sort of new America. And I think going back to this idea of peer pressure that Karen originally brought in, I think we saw that a lot more during the primary, and there was a lot more debate and discourse on campus when it was Obama versus Clinton. And I don't know, I personally was kind of disappointed, not necessarily because I supported Hillary Clinton, but because there seemed to be a lack of even thought to her candidacy. I think people were just kind of Obama from the get-go.
That new America, how would you describe it? How would you define it?
I think maybe it's definitely kind of less aggressive maybe than the America of the Bush era. It's not – I think at Colby, at least as far as I know, students are really interested in, you know, international affairs and in other cultures, and there's this idea – people make fun of kind of this, maybe not make fun of, but maybe they're put off of this kind of America that seems to have come out of the Bush administration. It's the kind of thing that's made fun of on, you know, The Daily Show and the Colbert Report, of this aggressive, kind of ignorant America. And I think that people see Obama as a marked difference from that.
Allison, do you have that same sense of a less bellicose America as being what students have in mind, or something else on the change front?
Yeah, I think that that's a large part of it, and I think that because of the way that Obama has campaigned now, he has a lot of negative attack ads in North Carolina and other swing states, and he's not getting the flack for that a lot of candidates do have, just because he's able to send those messages out while at the same time cultivating this idea of a new kind of politics. And I think that that's something that people are extraordinarily interested in, and it's not just in Washington, it's not just in the way that he is campaigning, but I think it's also a lot to do for students at UNC with foreign policy. We have a campus that's pretty globally minded and very active in terms of a lot of charitable organizations and outreach and study abroad and things like that, and I think that our students are really concerned about America's image in the world, and I think that a lot of the people who support Barack Obama support how he is saying that he will conduct himself in matters of foreign policy.
Allison Nichols is editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heel at the University of North Carolina. We're also joined by top editors from Colby College, Southern Methodist University, and Penn State. Behind me right now, they're going to fly now, the Rocky theme song. John McCain has used it on campuses. Sylvester Stallone, a backer of John McCain. We heard earlier John Mayer waiting on the world to change. He's endorsed Obama. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Talking about the campaign on campus, Obama, McCain, and the Year of the Youth Vote, here's John McCain, September 9th, on the campus of Franklin and Marshall College in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Amish country.
Thank you for this marvelous turnout. Thank you all, every one of you. And you convince me more and more we will win the state of Pennsylvania, and we will win.
John McCain with a very friendly crowd right there just last month on campus. We're joined by student newspaper editors today from Colby College, Suzanne Merkelson, University of North Carolina in the Daily Tar Heel, Allison Nichols, from Penn State in the Daily Collegian, Terry Casey is here, and from Southern Methodist University in Dallas, Jordan Hoffeditz, editor-in-chief of the Daily Campus. Let's get a call from Sandwich, Massachusetts, and Tobin. Tobin, you're on the air.
I wondered if your editors had a sense how many students will vote in their college town and how many register to vote, you know, back in their hometown, and also whether third-party candidates are making much of a presence on their campuses.
Great questions both. Terry Casey, let me come first to you at Penn State. Do students tend to vote there or at home? And what about third-party candidates?
Well, in the past, you could make the argument that there was a split of students voting on campus and at home. For the first time, though, I think, as we talked about earlier with the registration drive of going from 85,000 to more than 100,000, the students are registered here now, so they don't have a choice but to. That shows a lot more students are being registered here rather than at home, which, who knows, that could be affecting elections in other parts of Pennsylvania. Obviously, a lot of people are coming from other parts of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh area. But I think a lot of people are going to be voting here now, and the big drive now is to get them concerned about local elections besides the presidential campaign.
Allison Nichols, what about third-party candidates? Ron Paul or you name it. Bob Barr has, of course, been running down there, and, of course, Ralph Nader in the mix. We've talked with a bunch of them on this show. Do you hear much from third-party candidates on campus?
No, we really haven't heard much about third-party candidates on campus here.
Jordan, how about you? You're down in Ron Paul country, Texas way. Does he have much of a presence? Any at all? Students supporting him?
He's got a little bit. There's definitely a little Ron Paul contingency down in Dallas.
And what about where students vote there? Do they tend to be mainly Texans? Do they vote in Dallas or at home? And have you seen any big registration drive at your McCain-minded SMU?
I think a big push was from a group that we have that's Democracy Matters, that's nonpartisan, and they did, whether you're voting locally, voting in your home state, absentee ballot information, just kind of their mentality is just vote. There's also, you know, you hear kids talk, whether they're from Texas or from another state, well, my vote won't count here, so I'll vote from home because it is such a Republican state.
Allison, what about on the voter registration front? There's been a lot of talk about ACORN and voter registration drives, and also talk about the fear of vote suppression with long lines or challenges at the polls. Do you hear much of that related to the student vote or the surrounding vote in North Carolina?
I think students have a lot of questions about what do I need to do, what do I need to have to make sure that my registration is fine and so forth so that there aren't any problems. I don't think that there's any heightened concern among students in terms of ACORN or any other problem that's not there for the whole general population that I've been aware of. And in terms of registration, I think that typically students try to assess where they think their vote is going to count the most, so to speak. But in this case, in this year, for the first time in quite some time, students are calculating, I think, that their vote will count in North Carolina and that this election does matter, and so they're registering here.
Let's go to Boston and Michaela. Hi, Michaela. You're on the air with our newspaper editors.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'm in my mid-20s and also wanted to comment on younger generations. I'm a nanny for a 16-year-old boy, and he doesn't watch very much TV, but when he does, I'm closely monitoring it. And on MTV alone, I mean, the short time that he's watched it, I've seen interviews with Obama. I've seen, rap stars with wearing I Love Michelle Obama T-shirts, and I just feel like it's definitely Obama's done a great job at putting his name in places where there is a younger generation keeping a close eye.
It's interesting, Michaela. Let us pick it up. Suzanne, how about it? There's been a lot of buzz about the areas in which things are showing up here. Xbox 360 with appeals to young voters to register and get out to vote. Obama with the big budget he's put together with lots of contributions appearing in a lot of places. Do you see a very tailored, targeted media message somehow getting to college students from Obama or, for that matter, McCain?
I think not necessarily from the media. I think Obama has a very intricate network that is set up where, I mean, I have friends who are actually working for his campaign on campus to spread his message. But I think that, like, at least at Colby, there's kind of a sense. We read an op-ed in actually today's paper about comparing Hollywood and Colby in the terms of the fact that they're both so overwhelmingly liberal. And I think that maybe that's where we identify most with in terms of the media.
With just kind of basic affiliation there. Let's get a call from Austin, Texas. And John, hi, John, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I've heard your guests say that ideology, I've heard them say several times that ideology is what's driving Obama to, the youth vote to Obama.
Well, we heard that as well from Jordan. Mm-hmm. We heard that as well from Jordan saying ideology driving for McCain. So anyway, I'm sorry, John.
Well, I was wondering if there were any specific policy issues that they could cite that they're hearing over and over again, like is it Iraq mostly that's driving them over to Obama, or is it his tax policy, or their concerns about health care, or what is it specifically that they like about Obama's platform?
Let us pick it up. Terry Casey, first to you. I've got this new poll, again, out of Harvard and the Institute of Politics, finding that right now the economy is far and away the biggest issue for 18 to 24-year-olds, 10 times bigger than it was in 2007. But you hear John in Austin asking, what, health care, war, the economy, taxes? How would you rank the issues when you look to that front, Terry?
Sure. Well, I can tell you, first of all, health care, while a big national issue, is really not on the forefront for college students. I said earlier in the show, college students are concerned about themselves and their money, really.
And you're young and healthy and lucky you. That's great.
Yeah, they want to make sure when they get out of here that they can afford to live and then they have a job that they can keep affording to live.
Mm-hmm.
So the economy is a big, big thing for college students right now. And a lot of them, it doesn't even necessarily have to come down to McCain or Obama. It's that they look at the economy as a failed Republican system from the last couple of years. No matter what the actual impact is in specific policies, students look at that and you know, that we've grew up with a Republican administration, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they take most of the blame for the economy.
Jordan Hofeditz, how about on the policy front among students supporting McCain? Is it taxes? Is it, you mentioned earlier, the war in Iraq? On the policy front, what do you think students at your campus would most likely cite in their support of McCain?
I think taxes are a big thing with sort of the affluent nature that SMU has. While no, themselves are not going to be affected by it, their parents will be. I think the war can flip sides very quickly on people, whether they support being in it for the long haul or support staying in it to a point where we can get out.
And with that, more likely to tilt toward McCain. Allison, what would you put at the top of the policy heap or list? Economy or something else at UNC?
Yeah, I think the economy now is at the forefront of everyone's minds. I think that foreign policy, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan also play pretty heavily.
Let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah, and Valerie. Valerie, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I wanted to make a comment about how political awareness seems to be reaching into lower and lower age groups. I wanted to tell you that my 9-year-old came home last night and said at dinner, "Mom, do you realize that McCain voted with Bush 90% of the time?"
Somebody's been watching a little TV there, Valerie.
He has been watching TV, and I was really glad it was CNN versus MTV at least this time.
Yeah, that's funny. That's great. Suzanne, what do you think? You're the media generation. I mean, you've grown up with all 67,000 kinds of media aimed at you. Do you have a sense of it changing students, young people's sense of politics, of keying them in more, whether they're actively engaged or not? It just sort of rains down on you?
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to avoid sometimes. I think at Colby, at least, students are really interested in keeping up to date on current events, especially on the internet, reading newspapers online, reading blogs. And I think one of the difficult things, at least for our generation, is that a lot of news sources aren't completely, you know, objective, that there's definitely a bias. Even in papers like the New York Times, there's it's hard to tell exactly what you're getting, so you really need to look at a lot of different sources.
And you, a lot of our panel today, may be looking at heading into a newspaper career. Do you think the media does a good enough job these days? Is it providing the country, the country's young people, with the insight, the information they need to make a good vote, Suzanne?
I think it can be frustrating sometimes. there's more, often there's a lot more coverage of kind of the nitty-gritty of the campaign and not necessarily who the candidates are, what they stand for, but rather trying to catch them doing something wrong or something like that. So I think that can be disappointing. And I think that it's really important for students as voters to try to educate themselves from other sources, maybe talking to professors, things like that, rather than just going by what they read online.
Allison, you like, I guess, pretty much everybody here are majoring in journalism. Are you looking to dive into newspaper work or blogging to campaign coverage? Does it look like an appealing path to you? Do you think that the media's done a decent job?
Yeah, I do think that the media has done a good job, and I think that Suzanne raises some good points about needing to be careful about what you're reading, because there is just such an explosion of media and so many different blogs, especially, that you can be looking to. It is, of course, important to view it with a critical eye, no matter what the source, but I think that the mainstream media, that newspapers, have done a really good job of taking a critical and analytical look at the candidates, their platforms, what they're saying versus what they're doing. And I think that, you know, voters should have what they need to make an informed decision. There's no doubt about that.
Let's go to Tanya in Boston. Hi, Tanya. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We actually started to speak about, you guys started to speak about this, about the role of the internet. And one of the editors mentioned earlier the connection that the candidates are forming with students.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself am a junior at Boston University.
Great.
And I found that there is just such an overwhelming support for Obama on sites such as, for example, Facebook. And I actually did an article and I spoke to a couple of Boston University students, and a lot of them are feeling kind of, I guess, frustration with John McCain's open in the middle, that he's disconnected from the internet, which in our generation I think is a big thing against him. And I was just wondering if that came out in any other campuses
That's interesting. Tanya, let me ask you, that's interesting. You say a lot of Obama support on Facebook, of course, the huge social networking site. How does it show up? Do people on their own pages and walls and all that, are they putting up pro-Obama slogans, statements? How's it show up on Facebook?
I mean, it's really fantastic. Like, it's amazing. For example, the Obama campaign themselves on the site, which has pretty much, I think it's 3 or 4 times the amount of supporters that John McCain site has. And just individual groups, you know, that BU students themselves have started, also have an immense following. And on the BU campus, I couldn't find any John McCain supporting groups. Student-created John McCain supporting group.
Yeah, let us pick it up. Suzanne, how about it? Here's Tanya. She says John McCain's admission that he's not much into the internet is kind of a strike against him in her crowd. Do you think that creates a certain image, alienation?
I would definitely agree. I think, you know, we are the internet generation, and our president needs to be able to understand that. And I think Obama's, at least his donation drive. Like, I have plenty of friends who have donated, which I think is kind of remarkable for, 18 to 22-year-olds to support a political party already when, obviously we don't have that much money. And I think that Obama's use of the internet has really made him able to do that, able to reach us and reach people like us.
Terry Casey at Penn State, let me ask you, I know you do have a Republican student presence on the campus there. I think I read that a gang of them went off to see Sarah Palin when she came to Pennsylvania. What do they make of her? And are they back, proselytizing on campus, winning converts?
Well, they did travel out to Johnstown, which is about 90 minutes away from State College, to see Sarah Palin speak, and then she made some quick photo op visits on the way back. The College Republicans have been a presence on campus. They've been available. They've been open. They've been working very well with us to get their word out. However, they haven't been making nearly the amount of public events that the Obama supporters have. I don't know. I can't say that they have or they have not been converting anybody, but they certainly haven't been making as strong of a drive as college Democrats and Students for Barack Obama.
And Allison, last word goes to you here. The campaign is wrapping up. It's less than 2 weeks now to Election Day. We saw that big lean toward Obama among students in the polls anyway. Are you feeling the assumption on campus that it's Obama's to lose, that in effect he's won? And what if he doesn't? How do you think students would respond to that outcome?
Well, I don't know that there is an assumption of an Obama victory at this point. I think people are still holding their breath a little bit. We have a really big early voting and one-stop voting push also, so the polls are open at UNC and in Orange County, and so people are starting to vote already and will do so until November 1st. But I don't think that anyone feels like it's a done deal. They're still out there every day trying to get more people involved, more people registered, more people to actually go to the polls. But I guess everyone's sort of just waiting to see.
Well, it's not long now, and big energy on campus. We can feel it in this hour. Allison Nichols at Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina. Suzanne Merkelson at the Colby Echo at Colby College. Terry Casey at Penn State University. And Jordan Hofeditz at Southern Methodist. Thank you very much to you all for your work as editors there and for your time today. Thanks so much for being with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.